Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Give me a call, 208-991-4783, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Today's episode is brought to you by the support of our listeners. Thank you so much for your support. And I want to thank Harris, who sent in a nice donation. We'll be sending all along access to our premium site, as we do with all donations of $7 or more. All right, well, it's time for today's episode of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, and while I'm sure that Andrew will do all he can with it, the audio quality isn't very good, so enjoy today's episode, though. This one is called The Oklahoma Red Matter.
For your listening enjoyment, John Lund as Johnny Dollar.
Frank Ahern, it's Universal Adjusters, Johnny.
Oh, hi. How are you, Frank?
Well, a little worried at the moment. Can you help me out?
Well, that depends on what I have to do.
You have to take a little trip, for one thing. A farm near Lexington, Kentucky.
Well, it's a slow time of the year to get out in the country. What else?
Talk to a man named Calcor there. Had a racehorse that's insured for $65,000.
I hate to have to pay the premium on that kind of policy.
Well, that's just it, Johnny. Got a wire on my desk here from a man in Calcor's business office. The horse was seriously injured and had to be destroyed.
Well, no wonder you're worried, Frank. I'll be right over.
John Lund in another adventure of a man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
While we take a breather from our program, I'd like to ask you a question. Do you know who Uncle Sam's lawyer is? If your answer is the Attorney General, you're absolutely right. But being legal advisor to the President and other governmental agencies is only part of his job. His main task is running the Department of Justice, which makes sure that the laws passed by Congress are carried out, and that lawyers are available when the government must be represented in court. Let me give you an example. Suppose there are some questions concerning the amount or kind of tax you should pay, or suppose you and the government don't agree as to which of you own certain land. That's when the Department of Justice steps in to represent the government side of the case. If anyone is brought to trial for counterfeiting, smuggling, gold hoarding, or passport forging, the Department of Justice prosecutes the case. It also handles all matters dealing with legal immigration. And all of this activity is the responsibility of an important member of the President's Cabinet, the Attorney General. Just as it is the duty of the United States government to protect each and every one of you, it is the duty of the Attorney General to protect the government of the United States.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Universal Insurance Adjusters, Suite 814, Kittredge Building, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Oklahoma Red matter. Expense account item 1, $107.80. Airfare and incidentals between Hartford and Lexington. Item 2, $5.50. Transportation from the airport to the Great Southern Hotel. I checked in and changed clothes. Then to an address on Peach Avenue, Calgar and Company, Incorporated.
Mr. Calgar is never here, Mr. Dollar. Spent all of his time at the farm. You'll have to see him there.
Well, maybe I won't have to bother him at all. How about Mr. Monroe?
Mr. Monroe isn't with Mr. Calgar's office anymore.
That's funny. He was yesterday afternoon when he sent my company this wire about the policy.
He and Mr. Calgar ended things. I might as well tell you.
Oh.
Well, is there anybody else around here I can talk to about this?
I think you'll have to see Mr. Caldor.
A phone call to the Caldor farm disclosed that Mr. Caldor was out for the day. Another half hour of conversation in the office, and the reluctant clerk finally gave me a name and an address. He was a tall, lanky man who never took his hat off. Dr. Pierce, veterinarian.
Now, rope from red, huh?
Yeah. The people who wrote policy sent me down from Hartford.
Is there something wrong?
Matter of procedure, Doctor. Mr. Caldor's office has filed claim for a $65,000 indemnity. Apparently, Mr. Monroe, who handled these things for Mr. Caldor, is no longer with him.
Mm. Yes, I'm still the call.
And Mr. Caldor is not around at the moment.
I don't get it. If Lord Caldor has been buying that much insurance, he's got a right fire plane for it.
Just good business to get the facts, that's all. You treated him?
Yes.
The wire said something about a piece of machinery.
A tractor with a blade up. Blood roared back into it hard. Cut through his right hand string all the way to the bone.
Do you make out a report in a case like this?
In earnestly. The animal's just like it, hmm? Any of them are liable to get killed or hurt sometimes. Yeah.
Oh, thanks. Most of the tenders were cut, huh?
The ones that weren't tethered were plastic.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
It's notation about the carcass. Cremated on the premises. Why so fast?
Caldor wanted it that way.
Well, that'll make my job a little more complicated. Unless we took some x-rays.
There was no need to. Well, if this had already set in by the time I got there. What are you needing for?
Proof that the injury occurred more than anything else. Mr. Caldor called you right after it happened, did he?
That's right. I got there maybe 10 minutes later. Lloyd was alone with the horse. The minute I laid eyes on that animal, I knew it.
And you advised Mr. Caldor he had to be destroyed?
I didn't have any choice.
Did you consider calling in another vet?
No, you didn't, man.
Did Mr. Caldor ask you to call in another vet?
No, Mr. Dollar. He took my word for it. Why don't you?
Part of my job, Dr. Pierce.
Hmm?
I can't take anybody's word for anything. Expense account item 3, 30 cents. For the 5 airmail stamps, it took to mail a copy of the complete injury report to a veterinarian service in Cleveland. Item 4, $25, car rental. That afternoon, I drove out to the Caldor breeding farm. Like most of the others I'd passed, it was complete with white fences, rolling hills, bluegrass, and a stately colonial residence, just like the movies. A sullen, attractive girl in her early 20s met me at the door. I told her my name and who I wanted to see.
You're not an insurance salesman. You hear about Red. Well, what happened to him, aren't you?
That's right.
I'm Mr. Caldor.
Well, I'm glad to know you.
How much did Daddy have Red insured for?
$65,000. I don't know whether I'm supposed to discuss this with you, Miss Caldor.
If Red had gotten on the tracks this year, he'd have doubled that, tripled the tablet. There's not enough money in the world to accept that horse. He's a great horse.
He must have been. I'm sorry this happened.
Red couldn't have stopped Red.
Oh, I understand he was injured beyond hope.
That's a lie.
What's that?
Red couldn't have shot him. He just couldn't have done it. Red was the only thing around this whole place worth anything.
It wasn't the horse injured?
That's what the lawyer tell you. But I can tell you something else.
What are you talking about, anyhow?
It was a terrible thing to do.
Go to your room.
It was just like murder, and you know it.
Lucy?
It was murder.
Stop it!
Any time I've ever had to shoot a horse around here, she just like that. And that way ever since she was a little girl.
I see.
I knew I'd have to put up with her acting like that. But I'm reluctant to apologize to you for her action. Ed Pierce told me you were in to see him.
I wish you hadn't. I intended to tell you myself, Mr. Caldor. If I've offended you, I'm sorry for it.
Makes you look like I'm doing something shady. You could have come to me instead of going to him.
I tried to. We have to go to everybody. Dr. Pierce ordered the horse destroyed. Seemed like a fair opening to go to him and ask why.
What do you want from me?
All the information you can give me about the accident. Now, no matter what you think of me or my methods, I'm the man assigned to this case. This report has to be complete before your claim can be paid.
You always handle a case this way.
Well, that's the way I'm handling this one.
They don't know what they're doing, sending a man like you here.
You filed a claim by wire. What did you expect?
That fool Monroe filed the claim. I'd have waited until things around here calmed down a little.
Is that why you fired him?
That's one reason.
Are you here to accuse me of something?
Look, there's $65,000 at stake here. We'll pay it out when we're satisfied all the circumstances were proper and not before.
I'm not afraid of you, Dollar, or your insurance company. I don't like your snooping around my office talking to my friends about me. No man would.
If I don't get my information from you, I'll get it somewhere else. What I've seen of you so far and what information I have got hasn't been in your favor.
I don't like that kind of talk.
You don't seem to like anything about this. Now, how about it? Do we keep this up or do we get down to business?
The trainer was bringing Red back from his exercise. Outside the stall, Red got scared. Mouse or something, and he reared back into that blaze. When Doc got here, he said Red didn't have a chance, so I shot him, that's all.
It's Planner. What's his name?
Jim Knight. He isn't around anymore. I fired him right then and there. Told him to get off my property.
Who else was there?
No one. The rest of them were up the house having dinner.
Oh, fine. How about right afterwards?
I just called out to Pierce. We handled it.
Then better if you'd left the remains for us to examine.
Dollar, I got maybe 150 head on this farm. Now and then accidents happen. One of my stock is dead, I get rid of it as fast as I can. That's the way I operate.
Oh. Where can I get in touch with Jim Knight? Where did he go?
I don't know. He took the things and cleared out as fast as he could. He knew better than to hang around here.
What do you mean by that?
What I said, he knew better. That's what I mean.
Did your daughter see any of this?
Lucy. You know those crazy things he was saying when I walked into the room?
In view of the crazy circumstances, what you were saying might be worth listening to.
Pipe dream.
I'd like to talk to her just the same.
Abbott! Abbott!
Just a minute,
Stargo. Come. You can talk to anybody you like, Dollar. You've already got all the information you're going to get from me.
Just a minute, Stargo.
Yes, sir.
Show him out. Good place, sir.
Never mind. I can find my own way. When I left Lloyd Calgore, I wasn't sure whether I'd talk to a sane man or not. Calgore's belligerent attitude seemed to permeate the whole farm. The horse handlers I talked to were grumbling and complaining, and I was able to learn nothing from them except a Baltimore address for Jim Knight. However, I did talk to Lucy Calgore again, down by the stable.
I thought you left a long time ago.
I wanted to talk to you before I did.
What about, Mr. Dollar? Your business is with my dad, not with me.
Oh, pardon me if I seem a little confused. Earlier today, you were very anxious to tell me something.
Was I?
Yes, you were. What is this, anyhow?
I wish we hadn't met at all.
But we did. And you said there was no need to destroy the horse after it had been injured. Did you mean the horse could have been saved? Did you have a reason for saying something like that?
I've just been very upset lately. All of us around here have.
Yeah, I'm getting that way myself.
Red was the best horse we've had in the stables in 5 years. We've all been counting on him since... Since he was a colt. And when this stupid thing happened, it just turned all of us upside down.
Is that your explanation for the things you said to me?
Yes, for the moment. Please, don't ask me any more questions right now.
The Calgores were turning out to be a dandy pair to deal with. Back in town, I checked on Calgore's financial situation. It was good, as far as the local banks were concerned. Expense account item 5, $2.20, telegram. One to Hartford requesting further information regarding Calgore's credit standing. The other to Baltimore, Maryland, addressed to Jim Knight. The next morning, I received an answer to the latter. Johnny Dollar.
Baltimore, Maryland, calling
Mr.
Dollar.
Do you want to hold on?
Sure. Ready here with the call to Mexico. Go ahead. Thank you. Hello?
Hello?
Is this Mr. Dollar, the man who sent the telegram?
Yes. Who's this?
I'm Jimmy Knight, Mother. The wire said it was important for him to get in touch with you. I thought I'd better call and tell you where you could reach him.
Well, that's very kind.
Now, he's at the Calgore Farm, near Lexington. You can reach him there through Mr. Lloyd.
Wait a minute.
Calgore.
He left there 3 days ago, Mrs. Knight. Didn't he come home?
Why, no. Well, are you sure he isn't at the Calgore place?
I'm positive. Do you have any other ideas where he could be?
No. But this doesn't sound like Jimmy, Mr. Dollar. He wouldn't just go off without letting me know about it.
Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure. He's my son. Maybe there's something wrong.
Yeah. Maybe there is.
star, John Lund, we bring you the second act of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. When I talked to Jim Knight's mother in Baltimore, the Calgar claim was just about at a draw. I had a strong suspicion that the death of the horse had not occurred as reported. On the other hand, I had found no apparent reason for Calgar to do away with an animal that was evidently more valuable than the insurance it carried. It came down again to searching for the only other witness, Jim Knight. I promised his mother I'd have him contacted if I found him anywhere around Lexington. But that didn't seem likely after re-questioning several people at the Calgar farm.
Now, this is where Mr. Knight stayed all the time he was here, Mr. Dollar.
Uh-huh.
You can see for yourself it's all cleared out. Not a stitch left.
Did you happen to see him leave?
No, sir. Right after the accident, he's gone. Just like that.
I wonder if any of the others saw him.
We talked about that. Nobody saw him go.
Did he have a car?
No, sir.
Well, he got to have a suitcase or two. How do you suppose he got away from here, then?
Had him, I guess. I don't know. He could have lugged him out to the road and flagged himself a ride or waited for the bus.
Maybe someone drove him?
Miss Lucy might have said. She drove Mr. Knight around now and then.
That business you were telling me about before will have to be looked into, Lucy.
Me what?
Because you intimated that your father and Dr. Pierce might be lying about the whole thing. You realize that if there's any truth to that, your father would be liable to criminal charges.
I know. I was just trying to put Dad in a bad light.
Well, he's not in a very good one right now.
It was just a spite, and I thought of it, too. See, Dad and I have been arguing for weeks now.
And when I walked in the door yesterday, you saw a way to get back at him, is it?
Something like that.
Is that Oklahoma Red up there?
Mm-hmm. I took the picture myself.
Well, I'm no horseman, but he looks like a lot of horse.
He was. Do you know that the worst broken down plug who ever pulled a junk wagon has more dignity than any man who ever lived?
Well, that's one way of looking at it. What's the trouble between you and your father?
A man named Jim Knight. Used to work here as a trainer.
Yeah, I heard. I was going to ask you about him.
Yes, I thought so much. Jim and I saw quite a bit of each other, and Dad never liked that.
Why?
Well, I suppose because I'm all he has left. Mother and Bob, he was my older brother. They were killed in an accident a few years ago. Dad had been looking for an excuse to get rid of Jim.
Your father doesn't strike me as the kind of man who'd have to give an excuse to fire someone he didn't like.
Do you think he's mad?
What?
Nothing. Jim was a good trainer. Very good with word, most important. When the accident happened, I can imagine what Dad had to say to him when he fired him.
You know where I can find him now?
No. He didn't say a word to me when he left. What do you think about it?
Lucy, do you suppose your father will ever calm down enough so I can talk to him?
I don't know. The Calgary's have always been a terribly angry bunch of people. They're emotional. There doesn't seem to be much of a let up these days.
Is that what you meant when you asked me if I thought he was mad?
I suppose so. It's almost as if he's on the verge of something lately, something desperate. His mood frightens me sometimes. But he needs to. You know, I was thinking. A couple of years ago, Daddy bought a new car. We were out driving one day, and something went wrong. So he was so angry, he just smashed it into a cement wall and left it.
Lucy, tell me about Jim Knight.
I was in love with him from the first day he came to work here. I still am. That's all there is to tell.
I saw Lucy Calgar again the following afternoon when I returned to talk with her father. She told me he was gone and wouldn't be back until evening. I spent some more time with the people on the farm, trying to find out anything that would help. But nothing did. That night, when I picked up my key at the hotel desk, there was a message to call Operator 18 in Hartford. It was Frank Ahern.
Yeah,
Caldor's got a very good reason. He's got his rack because he doesn't need any money.
Well, then that angle is practically out, Frank. There's just no reason for him to kill that animal that I can think of.
How about the other?
No one seems to know what happened to Jim Knight.
This far as we go, John?
Somehow I feel there's more to it. What it is, I don't know, Frank. It beats me.
Well, how about going to the police and asking them to help you locate
that? Something just occurred to me, Frank.
What?
Caldor hasn't threatened to go to the insurance commission or the sewers yet. Yeah, it is. If he's got a just claim.
What is it now, Mr. Dolly? It's late.
I just talked to my office in Hartford, Dr. Pierce. They aren't very happy with the way this case has been going.
Is that so?
They're about ready to close it and call me home.
Well, you mean they'll pay you the claim?
No, I don't mean that at all.
Hmm?
Look, Doctor, I spent some time checking you out because you're one of the parties who can help settle this thing. You've been in practice around Lexington for 32 years. People think a lot of you.
And they believe my word.
Well, I don't. I can't. I'd hate to see a nice guy like you get the book. I think I can stop it if you'll cooperate.
The book? What do you mean?
Forget I'm an insurance investigator. I'm just a guy giving you some information. When I said my adjustment company is ready to close the case, I mean that Caldor will have to sue for a settlement. And Cord will have to produce Jim Knight and prove his story. With what we have so far, he'll lose the suit, and the insurance company will file charges against him for attempting to defraud. And they won't fool around. His mouth gets tougher than an insurance company when somebody's trying to cheat him. And, you'll have to be in court, too.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how about it?
I've been his friend for 18 years.
And he asked you to lie for him. That's understandable to me. But in the court, it's perjury. False testimony.
What did he do to you?
That's up to the company. I'll have to hear your part of it first.
Oklahoma Red was dead when I got there. He hadn't done any action. Lloyd made me promise to tell you that. Lloyd just got it.
Just got it? Why?
Well, Red wasn't the horse Lloyd thought he was. Great confirmation that he just wouldn't run. Lloyd got the money.
Got it. And Mike thought. Got it?
Yes. Lloyd probably didn't remember. Go away. I don't know. He's losing his mind, I think.
I've heard that about him before.
From who?
Lucy?
Yeah. He's had a reason. Like I said, I've known Caldor for 18 years.
Expense account item 6, 35 cents. I lost it in a payphone trying to get in touch with Caldor. No one answered, so I drove out. Hey in there. Open up. Open up. Open up, somebody. Open up.
Mr. Dollar, sir. Good evening.
Hello, Abbott. Can you hear me?
Mr. Dollar, maybe this ain't such a good time to be coming around.
Is Mr. Caldor back yet?
Yes, sir, he is. But
I'd like to see him.
Mr. Dollar, please,
I... Hi, Abbott. You're going ahead.
All right, Miss Lucy.
Hello, Johnny. Dad's not in a very good mood.
Neither am I. Hey, you've been crying. What's this?
Oh, I just don't seem to be able to do anything with strangers.
There, there now.
Oh, Johnny, I'm so happy.
Take your hands off her.
What?
I said take your hands off her, I'll kill you.
Don't look at me.
I'll kill you. I'll kill you. I'll kill one man for that kind of thing.
Lucy, baby.
No, don't touch me.
What?
Johnny.
I'll get a doctor.
No, I'm... Where'd he go?
I don't know. What's that mean? Johnny, did you hear?
About killing someone else?
He was talking about Jim. Johnny. What's the matter?
I called the local sheriff's office and then took a look around the grounds. All the cars were still in the garages. Then I heard some sort of disturbance near the stables.
Don't come any closer. I've got a shotgun here.
I got a gun, too.
All away from here.
The police will be here any minute. This won't do you any good. Dalgard. Be better if you're in the house ready to make a statement. Dr. Pierce told me he lied for you. And you said you'd killed someone. Was it Jim Knight?
I told you to go away from here.
You'd better come out.
I'm going to pay a whole bunch of you.
Don't do anything foolish. You didn't have to do it this way, Salvador. Like so.
Nice bottle. Under the floor. All these things we did. You know about Red.
I know.
Knight tried to stop him. But I was crazy. I'm not, am I, Dollar?
Take it easy.
I'm not crazy. I'm...
Well, that's it. Expense account item 7, $37.50, miscellaneous. Item 8, same as 1, transportation back to Hartford. Expense account total, $286.45. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Welcome back. Well, I don't remember. One thing I remember, this episode is another one of those that was done for the 15-minute episodes. Though as I recall, they set that particular episode over in Virginia, when they did that version. So we may get a clearer and a better version of the story, when we get to the 15-minute Johnny Dollars. All right. Well, now it's time for listener comment and feedback. Let's see here. Vinny comments, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Thank you for filling a gap that has long been empty. I love the theater of the mind, a love that has gone back into my teens. It started with a drama that I really wish I could remember the title, but I recall it being some drama that took place in Brazil or some South American country. But your podcasts are fabulous. Currently, I'm listening to episode 521, so I have a ways to catch up. Then there's Dragnet and Superman to start listening to, so I have plenty to listen to. Plus, I only started at episode 388, which is what iTunes started at. So I'll need to go back and listen to 387 more episodes. Thank you again so much. Well, thank you, Vinny. And maybe the series, because you mentioned is some South American... You know, it might be Bold Venture. It was set in Latin America, over in pre-Castro Cuba. So that might be it. And if not, when you get to this, let me know. A Bold Venture with Bogart and Bacall. All right, well, that will actually do it for this week. We will be back on Monday with Barry Craig, Confidential Investigator. And then join us on Friday for another exciting adventure with yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Send your comments, Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Give us a call, 208-991-4783. But from Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.